Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Talkspace and Upstart. More on that later. Let's do the do.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We are over here doing it Pan Studios. I am Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. That is where you will get video every Tuesday of all these fantastic episodes. All right. Make sure you subscribe to the Patreon show where I do The Honeydew with y'all. It's called The Honeydew with y'all. Okay. I try to just keep it real simple. One time I was told that the pitch for the movie Aliens was Jaws in space. And they were like, sold. Three motherfucking words. That's what I'm trying to do here. You know what I'm saying? So, the show is great. I charge $5 a month. That's it. It's one show a week. It's 52 shows a year. It's $60. And I know that is a lot of money to some people. But if you have it, that's all it is. I'm not doing bullshit tiers and, you know, get a fucking meet and greet and a T-shirt and all. I know. $5 a month. All right. One show extra a week with y'all. Also, Facebook fan page, all that stuff. Go to thehoneydewpodcast.com. The links for everything are there. Social media, the merch. Again, cannot thank you all enough for staying comfortable during this virus in my night pants. All right. I can't thank you enough. The night shorts are out there right now. Y'all are looking great. Hoodies, mugs, all that stuff. It's all restocked. Go get whatever you want. I record here every week at the Santa Monica Music Center. If you want some online classes by Los Angeles musicians, no matter where you live in the world, you just go to santamonicamusic.com, use the code Honeydew. And they'll waive the registration fee and give you, I want to make it clear when I say this, one free lesson when you sign up for your package. All right. That is everything there. Now, this show is where we highlight the lowlights. And these are the stories behind the storytellers. And I cannot wait to introduce you to today's storyteller because she's, I think, a four-peat on the feast. And her first time here on The Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Queen of Duke, Retta, y'all. Yeah! I've been waiting for this.
A four-peat.
You had a four-peat on. Oh, man. I am very excited for this because I was really... You don't do podcasts, as you said to me in the text. I don't do podcasts.
I don't.
But I will do yours, Ryan.
I've done them. I'm done with them.
Yeah, I hear you. So before we get into whatever we're going to talk about today, will you please promote whatever you like? Because you say you do have one you just recorded, right?
Oh, yeah. I was a co-host for a podcast. It hasn't come out yet, about the women's suffrage movement. It comes out August something. I can't think. I honestly can't even tell you the name of it because I'm so like
time and
but,
nothing.
But if you go, if dates. You Google women's suffrage movement and Retta, you'll find it.
That's good.
You'll find it.
What else? What else is out there?
Oh, and
right
then
now?
I'm on a show called Good Girls. It is on Netflix. The first two seasons are on Netflix, and the third season will come out on Netflix just before the fourth season, which we have to shoot, comes out.
You got a four-peat on Netflix, too? Come on, man.
Well, it's an NBC show, but it gets put on Netflix after it's
aired. So the first run's NBC, and then...
And then, so it's on Netflix. The first three seasons are on Netflix everywhere but the United States. The third season will come out just before the fourth season starts on Netflix in the US.
So you can get caught up and then jump live into season four.
Yes.
Great. That's awesome. Good for you.
And I am the new voice on Rocket Mortgage.
Are you really?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I can't wait.
I've recorded 3 ads.
please slip a doop doop, motherfucker. Doop, right? Please slip one of.
I've recorded 3 ads, and then I know I have to do one more thing, but only one, as far as I know, only one has aired. But my mother calls me and she's like, Cheryl from church just called and asked if you were on some commercial, some Rocket commercial. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. She goes, you are. I was like, yeah. She's like, oh. And so, and then like 2 weeks later, I was talking to her and she goes, oh, do you know I have seen that commercial so many times and I just realized it was you? I was like, early mom, you didn't know it was me? She's like, yeah. She goes, I think they raised your voice. Your voice is higher in it. I go, no, that's my commercial voice. She's like, oh, I talked to your father. I was like, this is our daughter. Really? That's what you told dad? Clueless. Both of them.
That's great.
They're like, as long as you can pay for food, we're good.
Well, there's a few things we're going to talk about, but speaking of your mom, you do have a really interesting story about your mom. Do you want to tell us about this?
You'd be my first story that I was about to tell. Mm-hmm. So when I was, my parents are from Liberia.
So real quick, because this is one of the things that definitely stands out. Liberia, your mom's the Peppa Soup, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, there was a song. There's a Liberian song called Peppa Soup.
Would make Peppa Soup.
Yeah, so my mom, that's what my father likes and my brother now likes too. But so my parents are from Liberia. And I went there. I was there when I was 3 months old.
You were born there or they took you there right after you were born?
I wasn't born there. I was born in Newark, New Jersey. Don't be jealous.
The Liberia of the United States.
Pretty much. there is a large Liberian community there. Or at least there was when I lived there. I think I was like 3 months old. My mother took me there. And then I was there again for first grade.
You actually went to school there for first grade?
Yeah. My mother went back because I'm pretty sure it's because my grandmother died. Her mom died, although she may have died when I was 3 months, and that's why I was there for 3 months. I never met her. So my mother went back for something. I think it was my grandmother dying when I was in first grade. Then she went back when I was in fifth grade or just before fifth grade when my grandfather died. And while she was there
without you this time.
Yes. So she, both times, the first time she went, or rather when I was in first grade, she got stuck there. There's always turmoil and, you know, unrest. As far as I knew, you know, growing up, that's all I ever heard about. It was always like issues there and worried about getting family either out or getting things to family because the economy was bad, blah, blah, blah. And so when I was in first grade, she went over there. She got stuck. There was a coup. Both times it was a coup.
Both times.
So the first time there was a coup, she got stuck and she was depressed. And so they sent my brother so that she had one of her kids. And then they sent me because she was like, she couldn't take it.
Sure.
You know?
How long, do you know how long she was there before you guys got there?
Like, I would say a couple of months.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so they sent me over and I was going into first grade. So I ended up, my uncle was in the government, sort of. And so while I was there, I went to first grade and I went to the school where the government officials' kids went to school. So it was like this private school. I remember, I've told this story before. I don't know if I've told it on the feast. I feel like I've told it before. And so I was tall for my age, and you know, in these old buildings, the windows would open out. Do you remember this story?
I don't remember the story.
So the windows would open out. And when we were kids, we would hold on to ropes, and then somebody would lead, and then everybody would just follow holding on to the rope, you know, during recess or whatever. And because I was tall, the kids walked under the window, and I walked under the window, and it scraped the top of my head off. Not the whole, but a big enough thing.
My legs just fucking...
But I was...
Like, it took a chunk out of your head?
Like, it cut open. Like, it was a flap.
Woo!
I didn't notice. Not that I didn't notice. I did notice. I think the teacher must have seen... By the time we went back inside, I think the teacher must have seen some blood. It's all fuzzy. I just know the part my mother tells me, for sure. And they kind of just, like, patched it up really bootleg style, whatever. And I went home, this is in Liberia, and so I used to sleep in the bed with me and my brother slept in the bed with my mother, because my mother was staying with her cousin, so we were all in one room. And my mother says she felt the bed wet, the pillow wet, and she turned on the light and saw the pool of blood, like the pillow was full with blood. They never told her that I got hurt. She didn't know she was like, what? Like, freaked out. And so, you know, woke me up, and she's like, what happened? What happened? Yeah. And I was like, oh, you know, I still was like, kind of like, I hit my head on the window, and my mother like went off on this school.
Did she take you with her?
No. Well, we went to the hospital. We went to the hospital so I could get it taken care of. And then another thing crazy that happened during that time. So they had like kerosene stoves there. I just remember such weird things, like them in the yard, the way they had it set up. Like, it was mostly family that lived in the houses around it. And so we had a communal yard. And so the women would cook together and do stuff in the yard and all this, you know, wash the clothes and hang them on lines all back there. It's very... That is very vivid. They used to catch the chickens and cut the heads off and puck them back there. Back in the yard. And but we had kerosene stoves, and someone had left the kerosene canister on the counter. And one day my brother comes into the living room. He was little. He comes into the living room. And I think he might have been 1 year old, maybe two. No, not even, I don't think he was older, because when she had him, she left. So I think he turned one while we were there. And he was like, she said he was gray. And he had pulled the kerosene canister down and drank the kerosene.
No!
So she had to rush him to the hospital.
Drank it!
So many things happened to us when we were in Liberia without my dad there. Another thing, my cousin who lived, it was a duplex, so they lived next door. We'd go play next door. Because he was the smallest, he would be the baby when we played house, and she was going to give him a bath and dropped him in a zinc tub and busted open his lip. So another reason to go to the hospital. It was like so problematic. Anyway, that was the first time the first time that my mother had to go over there. When we were little. The second time...
Now, can I ask you, those memories you actually have, or a little bit of hybrid, you were reminded or whatever?
The tub, I remember. The kerosene situation, I just remember everybody going crazy, you know, and screaming, and then picking him up and running out.
I mean, that could be death.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
What do you remember? Because you're first grade, you have any memories over there? Like, what stands out?
Yes,
to you?
I remember the guy that used to push the cart that used to bring. You know how you have the ice cream truck? Mm-hmm. Well, he had Coca Colas and sugar cane. So he had the sugar cane in the ice. So you would get it and you just suck on cold sugar cane. That was a treat.
That was a treat.
I sort of remember the market.
Are there playgrounds or anything like that? Like we have over
here? We didn't know. We didn't have, right? I mean, not where we were particularly, because we were out, not deep country, but we were in the country. In the city, we were outside of Monrovia. So we weren't in the city, where it was like super busy. I don't remember our street being busy. Like
a lot of traffic.
Right, I don't remember that. But I also don't remember. We must have had a car. I don't have a memory of a car.
Ask, yeah.
I feel like I remember some people having bikes, but I don't remember. But I can't imagine that my aunt didn't have a car. I know my grandfather, but my grandfather didn't live near us where we were staying. So I have like little.
Any sports? The kids playing sports?
Well, soccer. They played soccer all the time, you know, barefoot, kick a ball. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of the memories, just little things. And it was so long ago. And I don't have anybody that I share the memories with.
Right.
You know, like the little cousins that I lived with.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's not like we've had conversations about it over and over. It's just my mother perhaps telling somebody else what happened when we were little and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, yeah. But yeah, the cutting of my head, I think I have a memory of it because of my mother talking about, you know, I don't remember the pillow being bloody,
right,
but I have a memory of my mother looking at me like, you know,
shit herself.
I can't even remember if we all went back the same time. I think they might have sent me back.
At what point are you allowed to go back?
I think they sent me back before, and then my mother, came back with my brother a little bit later. I don't think I was there more than a year, because I feel like I know I just only went to first grade.
Right.
So, and I'm honestly, I don't even know if I finished first grade. I may have finished first grade here in the States.
But then she went back again later.
So then my grandfather died. Okay. And so she went back for that funeral.
And you're in another fifth grade coup at that time?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was just before I was in fifth grade, because I started fifth grade without my mom. So, there was another coup while my mother was there.
It was like every time she's
so much
go.
Unrest. Yeah. And so she got stuck, and she got stuck. She got stuck for longer. So I feel like she might have gone for fourth grade, or I mean, you know, for the end of fourth grade, the very end of fourth grade, all through the summer, me going into fifth grade and being in fifth, you know, that's the memory I have of being in fifth grade. And coming home one day.
So what happens? Like the government finally says, all right, this, you can travel now, or it's safe to leave, or are you rolling the dice?
So here's part of the thing. Okay. So when, from what I know of it, my mother didn't become a U.S. citizen until I graduated from college.
Whoa, okay.
So my mother had a Liberian passport. My mother was a student. She came to the state.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet. Resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
States for school, so she always had a green card. And so that's why, you know, my father became a citizen, I think, the first time, you know, that they had moved here. My mother was on a green card. So she didn't.
Is that why he stayed back and kept you guys?
No, he stayed back because he's working and needed to earn money and, you know, keep our apartment and that kind of thing. You know, it was struggle in the beginning when they were young, when they first came to the States. But so because my mother had a Liberian passport, I don't know if it was particularly the first time. I don't know if it was because of the U.S. or Liberia, but when something goes nuts in a country and they take over the government, there's no government. So the system, other countries can't trust that they're running a real government.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because it's hostage now.
So, you know, you have these, whether it be, listen, any Liberians who are watching me, I don't really know the facts. I'm just going by what I know. So don't, please do not call. Your email in about how Retta doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about.
Stay off the honeydew line with those phone calls, yo. We don't want to hear
really
it.
Don't know the details, but
do not blow up the honeydew hotline.
It makes sense to me. If a country is going through some kind of takeover, they don't have the recognized government that the other countries recognized before.
Like, listen, there's a bunch of bullshit going on over there. So good luck to them.
We're not going to let any of the crazies come over. You know, they block the, you know, you don't get the visas.
Yeah.
That's what's going on right now. They're like, they got COVID in America and it's bananas. Y'all got to stay the fuck out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So when there's a coup, someone takes over the government, you know, they kill the president and now they're running things, but they've never run the country before. They don't know what's going on. You can't trust. And a lot of it, sometimes it's the new government who has taken over the country who don't want the old government escaping. And so people aren't
not enough just to take it over.
They're like, you fucked up this. For whatever the reason they're doing it, and coups in Africa are no joke. You know what I mean?
I bet, yeah.
Yeah, it's bloody. It's not cute. So
did your mom ever share anything about like things she saw or had to deal with?
No, she hasn't. But she knows people that have and stuff like that. It's not an easy time, obviously. But whatever the case, so you can't travel. Sometimes you either can't come in or you can't come out. So because she had a Liberian passport, she couldn't come into the United States. So it had to get to a place where they were finally letting in. And I don't know if they had to, you know, my father had to do work on his end in the States saying the mother of my children, who are United States, who are born here, who are, you know, and I'm a naturalized citizen. We need her back, that kind of thing. So both times, like I said, she's over there. She has Liberian passports. They're coups. But for the second time when it happened, my father was not sending us, you know. And I was a little bit older, you know.
Yeah.
So I just remember coming home in fifth grade one day, coming home from school. And I remember seeing a board game, but it was like fancy. It was like made with like this wood and had a wood stand and it had little wood chairs you sit underneath, you know, you sit low and you play the game. And I remember the game from Liberia. It's called Ludo. And I remember it walking in and seeing it and I was like, where did that come from? And then my mom walked out from the back room and I was like,
and I hadn't, nice.
Yeah, I hadn't seen.
Months and months.
Months. And then, so my mother didn't drive at the time. So like whenever we went grocery shopping to do the laundry, we had to go to a laundromat or whatever, we'd walk. Go to the doctor's office, doctor's appointment, we walked. And I remember walking to a doctor, and it was not close. We lived in an apartment building, and we walked out of the complex, down the main road. And I was like, where is this doctor? We walked to the doctor's appointment, and I remember walking back. My mother says to me, well, the rabbit died. And I was like, that's something they would say when someone was pregnant. So my mother, as soon as she got back, she got pregnant with my youngest brother.
I see.
Yeah. Because my parents hadn't had sex in months. It was on and popping.
I got another cool kid on the way. We sure do.
Another cool kid. Yeah. That's what we're going to start calling Mitch. What's up, cool kid?
That is scary, though.
It's weird.
That's
right?
Fucking weird. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't know anybody that has any stories like that in their life. Yeah. To be on that. I mean, we sit here and think we're on lockdown. Imagine that shit.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Every day, fearing for your life. Probably can't go anywhere.
One of the big things that my mother was saying that was when stuff like that goes down, literally, it all falls apart. Like, they were like, money didn't mean anything. Because there was no true government, no one, they didn't believe in our currency, you know, their currency. She said they used to barter with bouillon cubes at the market. Like that was considered cash. Yep.
No shit.
Yep. Yeah. It's crazy.
Damn.
I mean, American dollars meant something.
Right.
The Liberian money didn't.
Nothing.
Until things got back together. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy. And has your mom ever had to go back since? Or have you ever gone since?
No, fifth grade was...
That was your last...
Well, actually, I wasn't there. First grade was the last time I was there.
That's the only time? Second time, really. You're a baby, yeah.
My father has gone back a couple of times. My mother... My father wants to retire there. But now that they have grandparents, my mother's like, I ain't going nowhere. It's like, unless we all go, and we ain't going. We're not all going. So, yeah. But my father goes back, and he sees his family and stuff like that.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Would you ever go back?
I might. I actually, there's a possibility of me going back. With COVID, things have gotten so thrown, but I was supposed to go back to do this TV show thing. Well, not supposed to. It was likely that I would go back. For this TV thing, but now it's kind of all in limbo because of the circumstances. Because
the world's in limbo,
and nobody wants us there.
Yeah.
So.
What? And from California? Nah. We'll wait. They're Liberia like,
for
will be
sure.
Here.
She has it. I don't even need to test her.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. All right, I want to talk to you. I'd asked you earlier
the
if
scarf,
you were...
The scarf is so loose.
It looks good on you, girl.
Thanks.
I asked you about being bullied. You said, no, I wasn't bullied. You brought up college. But let's go back to where you went to college. I still think you're the only Duke grad that's ever been on any of my podcasts. and I love that you're a Duke grad. But, what was college like for you?
College was fun. I loved college. It was, I met some of my closest friends that I'm still friends with now.
Did you drink at all in college or anything? Nothing.
No. Okay. I the first time I took a drink, I like sipped a drink. It was my freshman year. I remember I was in a friend's dorm.
College.
Yeah, in college. And I was like, oh, that's not true. The first time I took a drink was I was senior in high school and I sipped a cooler.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not into it. Yeah. So like, whatever.
Fuck Bartles and Jane.
But then I think they had coolers, but there was something else. I drank like some vodka and some juice, but I didn't like it. And I was just hot the whole time. Swore I was drunk. Everybody was like, you're just sweating. You're not. You know what I mean? Like,
sweating.
You're not drunk. The first time I can say that I drank was my 21st birthday or right after my 21st birthday. But I didn't drink in college. I drank after college. Like right after is when I was making up for lost time. Yeah, I was like drinking, St. Ides and Boone's Farm and what was the, what do they call it? Liquid crack?
Oh, come on.
Cisco.
Cisco.
Thank you. Yeah. All that trash.
Because it's cheap. Trash. Yeah.
So.
And we'll, if there's one thing it will guarantee do, it is fuck you up.
I used to paralyze me. So it did. So
you can't say that so nonchalant.
It used to. Well, listen. So we would play these drinks. Like, you try to get that buzz real quick before you go out so you don't have to pay for too many drinks while you're out. That program was real. And I remember sitting at my friend's dining room table and we're I don't know if we're playing quarters or whatever, just something stupid, just drinking. And I just remember I couldn't lift my arms. And I was like, you guys, I can't lift my arms. And everybody was like, really? I was like, I literally cannot lift my arms. I was like, and then it would go away. It happened every time.
Every time?
But I also, yes. So I had to slow down on the Cisco. I would drink other trash, but Cisco used to freak me out.
Well, that one is poison.
Yeah. It is poison. And it literally
proud
would
sponsor
give me,
of
like, it literally give me paralysis in my arms. And I'd be like, I was like, I can't fucking move my arms. But I noticed I used to get that weird paralysis thing when I drank the Wallaby Darned at the Outback, which was
which had the champagne.
It had champagne, peach schnapps, and another liquor, frozen, whatever. And I would get like a weird like sensation, like I don't want to lift my arms, and then it would go away. So I don't know if there was some kind of combination in Cisco that was similar to that, that was way stronger, clearly, because I literally was like, I got to drop out of college. I can't move my arms. You know
what I mean? That's a wrap.
But yeah, it happened a couple of times like that. But then I wasn't scared of it the second time because I knew it would go away.
That's just what Cisco does. What if I bounce my quarter?
Exactly.
I'm like, I got you, Riri. She's good. You can't even point to him. Look at this motherfucker over here. Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, Talkspace. Now, we all have something we're working on, perhaps a career change, finding a partner, or procrastinating less. The hard part isn't identifying these goals, it's taking action. Thanks to Talkspace Online Therapy, finding a licensed therapist is easier than ever. Get matched with your perfect therapist right from your device and connect with them on your own schedule from anywhere at any time. Better yet, 1 month on Talkspace costs about the same amount as a single in-person therapy session. Talkspace is a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy, but with Talkspace, you can send unlimited messages to your therapist and they'll engage with you at least 5 days a week. Talkspace therapists have experience treating depression, anxiety, substance abuse, trauma, relationship issues, food and eating, and much more. Talkspace is secure and private, using the latest encryption technology to store client information. The bottom line is that we all need someone to talk to, and Talkspace wants to give the licensed support we deserve at a price we can afford. As a listener of this podcast, you can get $100 off your first month on Talkspace. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com or download the app. Make sure to use the code HONEYDEW to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's HoneyDew and Talkspace.com. Our next sponsor is Upstart. During these economically turbulent times, everyone's looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So if you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high-interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Now is the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be to help pay off high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smaller rate, but you don't need a degree or a diploma to apply though. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000 so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate, and since it's just a soft pull, it does not affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part, if the loan is approved and accepted, most people are getting their funds the very next business day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. I know some of you guys have. You've hit me up about it, told me how easy it was. So thank you for supporting the show, and I'm glad it's working out for you. And you can see why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/honeydew to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dew.
Yeah.
But did you go out and hang out and stuff too? You just didn't drink?
Yeah, I just didn't really.
So you were social?
Drink, yes. Yeah. I was social.
Were you? I can't remember. Does Duke even have fraternities, sororities? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
Yes, we have fraternities and sororities. And I used to go to the, you know, frat parties or whatever. And we used to
In a sorority?
Mm-mm.
No.
And we used to go to Chapel Hill all the time.
Yeah, so, right, you got, what's the, in proximity, you got NC State, right? You got North Carolina, Chapel Hill there. You got Duke. Mm-hmm. And, is something else right
there's,
there, too?
I mean, well, those were the, I mean, the those big are ones. Monster you know, colleges. Wake Forest is not right, that yeah, far. In Greensboro, there's a lot of colleges, you know, NCCU.
But how quickly are you going Duke to Chapel Hill?
15 minutes.
Oh, holy shit. Miles. That's nothing. Yeah, that's going to West Hollywood from here.
Yeah, they're really close. So we used to go to parties over there all the time. They used to come to parties to us all the time. But the whole bullying thing, you know, being a fat girl in college, and mind you, I'm bigger than I was when I was in college. I just got bigger when I went to college. You go out and you're with all your girlfriends and you're with the cute girls. And so I would have, guys would try to get to you through your friends, you know, try to buy you a drink, you know, lean past you and you're like, do you need me to move? You know, like, how much are you like having a conversation around my face? Yeah, exactly. But I remember having this incident at, oh gosh, what was the name of the place? It was on Franklin Street, upstairs. I keep wanting to say Charlie Goodnight's, which is the club that I used to do in Raleigh, North Carolina, but it's, I can't even think of it. Anyway, so this guy tried to talk to my friend, Lika. Lika is New Jersey. She's mixed. She's Asian and white, but she's so ghetto, right? And she used to mess with black guys all the time. And so this black guy was trying to talk to her. She wasn't interested. And she was like, get the fuck up out of my face. She's like, I'm good, bruh, kind of thing. And I was like, I'm always like nervous because anywhere Lika goes, there's going to be a fight. She this small, scrappy, as always by a team. So this guy's trying to talk to her. She's not interested. He's doesn't appreciate it. He's getting in her face. And she's like, mother. And then as soon as she starts, motherfucker, then she starts reading everything about him. You know, little dick motherfucker, your fake cross colors, you're this, you're that, that gold, that chain ain't gold, all the things. And he is not feeling it. And he goes for her throat. Not with me around. I remember I was wearing a baseball cap.
And you're right there. He didn't.
I'm not really paying attention until she starts getting loud with him. And I turn and I see him go at my friends. So when I get mad, something like, and I have no fear. And normally I'm a scaredy cat.
What's that all about?
My no fear thing? Yeah. I have a thing of like fairness and equality.
Me
and
too.
And as soon as I see something that's not fair or not right, especially like it's getting violent and it's disrespectful. It's like the whole thing. I get so angry and so I don't have that fear.
But where do you think that comes from?
I don't know.
Because I have the same thing where also I get stubborn too. Like there was a gas station in my neighborhood I didn't plan on living in that neighborhood for 10 years, but I did. And one time I went to get a bottle of water and the goddamn machine wasn't working. And I was dying of thirst. And I just went to the window and I go, yo, machine took the dollar. Can I please get a bottle of water? He's like, it ain't my machine. And I was like, right away, I go, look, I get that. You're you know, subcontracting your real estate over here to some company. Come on, the dollar's in there. Like, it costs a dollar for a bottle of water in your place. Right. Can you just take the dollar yourself? I don't have the keys. And I'm like, this motherfucker. I go, and now there's people behind me. And I just lost my shit. I'm like, you know what? Fuck you, motherfucker. I'm never coming to get gas here. Let me tell you something. If I was on fumes, I would have pushed my car by that gas station. I have 2 times in 10 years I had to go. And I felt guilty about those two. But that gas station lost a lot of money on my ass. Principle is what I was looking for.
Yes.
I'm very about principle.
Yes.
I'm with you.
I 100%.
To a fault sometimes.
So I, like, you know, you get that, your heart starts racing, the blood rushes in, and my friends say that I said, not today, motherfucker, and I turn the hat backwards. I turned the hat backwards, and I fucking went at him. And he was a little bit shocked. He was a little bit shocked. And I was like, who the fuck, you're gonna fucking fight a girl? Like, I already curse as it is, but it just spills out. And I go, so then security, that, like, the whole place is like, what the fuck? Now, no fight really happened. I just jumped at him. And I'm like, fuck you, the fuck you think you're a fucking fighter girl? She's fucking 5'2". Fuck you, bitch. Going on and on.
That chain ain't gone. We're hitting some of her highlights.
And here's what I remember, because he had said to me earlier something about, do you know Michael Bivins?
From Belle Biv DeVoe?
Yeah. And I said,
I know Ralph Tresvant.
And I said,
imagine if you really knew him or not.
And I remember saying, well, we're not pen pals. I know who he is.
Did he go to school there?
No, but he was trying to say, that was one of his things about being cool, was he's friends with Michael. Who gives a fuck?
Meaning, do you know who that guy is? That's my buddy. Yeah.
Yeah, like, but he wasn't there.
Right, yeah.
He was just saying, that's like, you know, my girlfriend lives in Canada. He was just saying, he was and I was like, this is how you try to pull girls? Yeah. Do you know Michael Bivins? So when I jumped on, it was one of those things. I was like, you bitch, you don't even know Michael Bivins. Like, who cares? No, I don't even care. But I was like going crazy. And
somebody get her off me, man. I know Michael Bivins.
I remember security pulling us apart.
What a dumb thing.
And then throwing him out. And him being like yelling, like, she's the one who tried to jump me. Bah, bah, bah. I was like, yeah, bitch, but I come here all the time. They like me. Bye.
Belle Biv DeVoe.
Yeah. So
now you know.
Yo, slick, blow. It's driving me out of my mind.
Your ass to another bar, motherfucker. Go take your Ronnie Bivens shit somewhere. Oh, whatever. Oh, my God. I can't believe I knew it. I pulled that out too. See, now we got a little bit out of it. I'm cultured. Man. So did you date at all in college?
No. I hooked up every once in a while, but I never dated anyone.
So how would you meet guys? What was your way of meeting? Because back then, no offense, I say back then because I'm in that class too, but it wasn't a, let's just get online and see who's out tonight, you know, and who's in my proximity. Like,
it was just basically
parties,
yeah,
or class.
Going to party.
Or
no,
never,
parties. It was more of a party thing, and, you know, you just meet somebody and you mac out or whatever. I also didn't hook up with a lot of people in college. I don't know. I was a little bit of an introvert. I was a goody two shoes. So I wasn't just going to have sex with, you know, a bunch of randoms. I just remember whenever a friend told me, like, if they met somebody when we were out and they met somebody and they kind of hooked up, and then we talked the next day, and I'm like, that was my friends used to make fun of me. So like, you don't even know him.
I remember you saying that.
I'd always be like,
you and I used to go drink at Red Rock back when that was a place. And you used to tell me that shit. It made me laugh. You were like, he put his mouth where? You had a straw. Like, you had a straw.
You don't even know him.
You don't even
know him.
And you just kept asking questions.
You don't know where his mouth is, man. I used to be mortified. So I'd be like, cute. I mean, okay. Until I was older, that became a little hoe. There, I was like, oh, I get it. It's fun. The random hookup.
You said two things. You mentioned introvert and goody two shoes. Why were you goody two shoes? Were you raised like, what was it more about not letting mom and dad down or not about letting them find out?
But I mean, it was always about like not embarrassing my parents. And
but you're also at Duke. You know, I went to, nobody gives a fuck if you don't finish community college. You know what I mean? Duke's a big deal, especially coming from where your parents came from.
Yeah. But honestly, I don't think Duke was that big a deal to my parents. They were just like college. So, you know, it was a bigger deal to me than it was to them. My parents were just like, go to college. We need to be able to afford it. So if you don't get, you know, financial aid kind of thing. But it was, it was the way I was raised. I think always in the back of my mind, you know, what would Debbie think if she found out about it? It's one of the reasons I didn't curse for so long. When I got older and I was like, I'm a good person. Then I cussed so much.
You're good at it.
But but otherwise, I remember the first time I heard my mother say ass. I was in college and she was mad about my dad about something. And she's like, oh, he's such an ass. I swear, me and my brother were like,
you had never heard that.
And then I remember telling my mom a joke, some stupid joke about monkeys in a cage throwing poop. And I said shit. And she was like, oh, I'm done with this joke. Who are you talking to? She was like, we are not equal. We do not. And I was like, Lord. And that was in college. I was in college then. I was like, all right, Deb, we got it. Cool. But
has she ever seen you do stand up or your work now?
Well, she's seen my work now. She did see me do stand up because my mother's forever about school. Like Africans live for school. So my mother was at the insurance college in New York, and I had a gig there. So she came to that show. But my mother saw me do stand up in North Carolina where I started at Charlie Goodnight's. So I tell my mother, this is a good story. I think I may have told you this too. When I first started doing stand up, my parents are in Jersey, I'm in North Carolina, and I'm about to do my first show. And I've written this bit. It's my KFC bit. And worked really hard on it. And I tell my mother the bit on the phone. Silence. And she's like,
high pitch.
She was like, I guess it could be funny, you know. And this is like, I was thought I was about to kill this shit, you know.
It's my clothes are right here. Yeah.
So it was at the time I was doing open mics. It was time I was doing open mics. So I was getting ready to do it at an open mic. I went and did it. Killed. Like ripped. It's still, the bit still works. That's how strong it is.
2020 still works.
So.
Take that, damn.
I go home. I call my mother the next day. I tell her about it. I was like, I did so well. People really thought it was funny. Blah, blah, blah. And my mother was like, there's no accounting for taste. And I was like,
they're wrong, she said.
She really was like, I don't know what's going on. She and my dad came to North Carolina to visit me. I made sure I had a set. So I had a set. I was the MC. So I opened the show. I did well, but whatever. Worst thing in the world. My parents were sitting in the front. You don't answer questions. You don't answer comics questions at the club. So he's asking about their sex life. And I'm like, having a fucking panic attack. And my mother is like, my mother's super religious. My father doesn't talk. So it was just.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet, resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging a- and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
Anyway, glad that was over and we got out of there. And I was like, Mom, just future reference, you never talk during a unless you want to be in the show.
Don't sit up
Don't
front.
Say anything. Don't and sit don't in the front. Talk. She had to sit in the front. See me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I said, what did you think of my set? She goes, funny. I guess she has to be there to enjoy it. I was like, yeah, I guess so. But I was like, yeah, it's a good bit. Always works.
I'm dusting off right now. I'm fucking doing goddamn it. Can we talk about the loss, your friend? I asked you about something and you said, yeah, it was a really tragic thing. And I wanted to know if we could talk about that.
Yes. So I had, you know, I have a really good friend whose baby passed away. He was 2.
Mm.
And you were asking like any traumas and
back when you said you didn't have
I was like and I was like I don't really have any traumas and I was like oh yeah like because it wasn't my child I don't think of it as my trauma, you know, even though it was like the worst experience.
Yeah,
it was certainly one traumatic. Of my worst experience. Yeah. And it wasn't my child
exactly.
But that was a tough, scary time because you're worried about your friend getting through it.
What happened?
Oh God, now I'm scared. I'm going to cry. So her son had been sick. I remember, so I was at Red Rock and she used to DJ. And so she was DJ. She wasn't there that night. Her husband was there filling in. And I was like, where is she? He's like, oh, the baby's sick. So she stayed home. The next day I wake up to a call from one of our good friends and she says, she's kind of crying and she's like, the baby died. And I was like, what? And I'm trying to wake up and I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, last night they were in the hospital and he died last night. And I was like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And like, I had to get off the phone. I literally remember just sitting for a while and just being like, this can't be true. This can't be true. You know, like having a little bit of like palpitations, mm-hmm. trying to be calm and then calling her phone. She didn't answer. Calling his phone. He didn't answer. I called my friend back and she's like, yeah. I said, well, okay, where are they now? Where are they now? She goes, Jacqueline just talked to them. Talked to them last. They were still in the hospital when she talked to him. So I called Jacqueline and she's like, yeah, it's fucked up. And Jacqueline lives out far. So I'm like freaking out. And I'm like praying as if she didn't already tell me what happened. You know, I'm praying like, it can't be true. It can't be true. Like fucking freaking out. I remember I got off the bed and sat on the floor and I was like, can't be true. It can't be true. What is going on? What is going on? And then I called her number again. She didn't answer. And I called. So it was like texting back and forth, everybody trying to figure out where they are, a whole thing. So I would say about an hour and a half from when I first got the call to when I tried to call them again. I call her, no answer. I call him, he answers. And I'm like, where, like, what happened? He's very calm. You can tell he's like fucked up and he's calm and he's like, yeah, we just got home. She's in the bedroom. And she's kind of wailing in the back. And she's just like, who is it? Who is it? And she's like, and he tells her it's me. And she's like, yeah. And I said, should I come over? And he says, should I come over? And she yells, yes. So I was the first person to go over there. And it was just this most surreal, like when I think about it, it almost has this like ethereal feeling because I just remember it like we weren't really there. Like it, not that it didn't happen, but it was, I get this like weird feeling because like we just floated through that whole thing because.
Like you were almost watching it.
So we were there. Right. Literally.
Is that what you mean? Like you're almost view, you're outside of it.
Not so much that I was outside of it, but I almost didn't let myself, I won't let myself hold on to it.
I see.
I would say I was at their house probably for 3 days. There were people in and out of the house constantly, people coming, flying in. The traumatic part about it, like it was fucking traumatic. The hard part to watch was every time someone new came in, it was their time to go through it. So she had to go through it every time someone came in to the room. So it started to get really, really fucking heavy. Like, and so then we're just in the house. So it was probably like 7 or 8 girls of, like in the bedroom, just in the bedroom. We'd go out every once in a while to get something. All the guys were outside in the living room and in the kitchen and stuff like that. But the girls were in the bedroom most of the time. We're on the floor, we're on the bed, we're sitting in the chair. Like, and there was this one girl who she flew in. I think she got there on the third day and, you know, she was good friends with her. She had been in her wedding. I don't know if they'd both been in each other's wedding, but she had kids and, you know, so she had to find, I think her husband was taking care of the kids. So she flew in. So she's new. We've been grieving for 3 days. Like it has been fucking heavy. And we had finally gotten to a point where we were laughing about stuff. So telling stupid stories and like on the floor, crying, but dying laughing. And I remember her coming into the room and being irate that we are cracking up.
That was her first impression of...
Well, she had been there. She probably had been there for like 2 or 3 hours, but she hadn't been in the room.
Right, yes, yeah.
But she hadn't even been, she hadn't been in the room, really. And I mean, like cackling. Like it was weird, but we had, it'd been so fucking heavy for so long. Like the fact that we were even finding stuff to laugh with, you know, and she, you know, my friend was in the bed. She was laughing. She was crying, but she was laughing too. So she comes in and it's like, what is going? I don't even understand what is going on in here. Like she came in like somebody's parent. Like it was a slumber party and we were told to go to bed an hour ago. And I snapped.
Turned the hat around.
I might have taken the hat off. So everybody got really weird. Everybody was like, what the fuck? And she's like,
yeah, how do you handle this?
I don't even understand. And I was like,
how do you?
I turned to her and I was like, if you don't get the fuck out of here, I said, we have been in this fucking room sitting in this shit for 3 days. You just walked in this bitch and you want to tell somebody, you want to tell people how to fucking
how to
grieve?
Feel and grieve, yeah.
We're in here with the mother who fucking needs this reprieve. And you're going to, how, if, I said, bitch, I will fucking choke you out in front of this all these girls in this room if you don't get the fuck out of here right the fuck now. And she was like, salty, you know, like, and I said, get the fuck out.
Wow.
And she walks out, you know, so I'm like, and I turn around and they all fall out laughing like, and then I laughed about it. I was like, what the like, how dare you? And then my friend was like, I love you so much. I love you so much. I love you so much. Oh my God. We were.
What happened? Did that lady stay? Like, did you have to go see her after that?
She slept in the hallway. She didn't sleep in the room with everyone else.
The hallway.
She made a little patty in the hallway.
You got a little pot out
from what I remember.
You probably scared the shit out of that lady.
I mean, but yeah, I was like,
around, y'all need anything? What? Be out here.
Like, what are you doing? Oh, God. Yeah, that was... It was... I've never, like, had to function in that kind of grief before. It was really hard. And I was working. So I had to go shoot. Like, oh, I was on Parks at the time. And I just remember being in hair and makeup. And they were like, okay, well, we won't put on eyeliner. Like, I was just crying constantly. And then just, like, the last minute, they're like, eyeliner. And then I have to go on set. Ugh.
Like, action, treat yourself. It was. Can I tell you, I wish you would have been able to fucking copyright that shit. I hear it everywhere. And you know, when I hear someone say it, so I'm like, you know what that's from? They're like, what? I'm like, that's from Retta on Parks. Yeah. I don't give Aziz the credit. He does deserve some too, but it's always you when I say it. And I'm like, that's from Retta on Parks and Rec. That is stolen, fucking written from somebody. That is their shit. Nobody even knows where it fucking comes
from.
Yeah,
my friend, she said she was at the grocery store. This is years ago. And she had just gotten this like manicure that had like this glittery polish on, and she put something out, and the cashier said, "Oh, I like your polish." She was like, "Oh yeah, I got a day at the salon," and the bagger was like, "Treat yourself," and she was like, "That's my friend." He was like, "Who's your friend?" He's like, "My friend, treat yourself." He's like, "Huh?" No idea. Didn't know if that it came from a show, where it came from. It was just this thing that was in the zeitgeist at that point. And she was like, "Never mind." Yeah, but treat yourself. Yes, that's what I did.
Not to go back to your story.
Great.
A friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, a lady I consider my mom growing up, her daughter passed away. She was a sister to all of us, like, mm-hmm. 16 in a car. Actually, I shouldn't just say her daughter passed away. It was two friends of ours in a car accident. Mm-hmm. A guy crossed the center line, hit them. Oof. He was ejected, died immediately. She was, and no airbags back then. You know, they hit heads and then bang. So she was, you know, it really fucked her head up. And she was on life support for a little while. And then she passed away. And for me, that was just a run of, it went from my dad at 16 and then to my grandmother in April a few years later. She was, I believe, August, and then my other grandmother in like October, all that same year. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, and I remember his mom, because it was like you said, the house, so many people coming in and out, everyone meaning well.
His mom?
My friend Shannon, like he's the guy I'm still close with. It's her brother.
Gotcha.
So Kelly and so Shannon, my friend, his mom, her brother, we're still super tight. And I just remember everyone being there. Kids are, you know, it's high school. That's different when it's in high school. So now the kids are sleeping over, and you know, on the 10 of them on the floor, you know.
That's
and
how it was.
Yeah. And she asked me, and I don't know. She and I have talked about it. And I said, why'd you ask me for that? And she's like, will you just take me out for a drive? And I was like, yeah. And I took her out. And I don't know. We were just driving. And she's just crying. And she, And she's just crying. And I'm, you know, I don't know what to fucking say. I'm not even a parent, let alone lost a child. I have no idea what to say. And I end up driving, and I don't know why I did this, but because it was in the air, like to our high school. And I just thought, well, I'll just park here on the parking lots, lights, and, you know, some other cars stuff there. And she puts on Garth Brooks, The Dance. I had never heard that song before in my life.
I know it.
And this woman, I mean, screamed. Just a primal, guttural. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you didn't want anyone to see you do this. I get it. And I just sat there and I was just like, whoa, I will never forget that. Like hearing that, just like wailing.
Yeah.
And we're in a Honda Civic. You know what I'm saying? And it was tight quarters. It was some close ass quarters for that trauma, that 1990 Honda Civic with the original rim. So...
You say original rims.
Always original rims.
Like that's fly. Like it was limited edition.
Hey, listen, I stayed true. You know what I'm saying? Everybody tried to get your fucking hubcaps and your spinners and all. I stayed true to my OG brand.
They spinning, nigga. They spinning.
Remember that? There are people out there that still have that shit on their car. Because they spent the money.
Is that Chris Rock?
They're coming back. They're coming back. No, they ain't coming. They are not coming. I see old cabs every now and then. I'm like, look at this cab trying to get you.
That's hilarious.
Oh, man. But you didn't you say you had two friends who lost?
Yeah, and then I had another friend. They had twins, and one of the girls, she had issues from the beginning. So she was, you know, in the hospital for a long time from birth. And then finally, she was able to get out, and she still had some more surgeries to go. And I think it was like after her second birthday, things went downhill and they were back in the hospital and she passed away. Mm. And I was like, when I was touring, on the road, I remember I would see these families in the airport with their kids. And I remember, you know, it was right then when I felt that ticking clock for having kids or whatever. And after that, after both those losses, I was like, I wouldn't be able to survive it. It's probably for the best that I don't have kids. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I got over that ticking clock because I was like, I don't know how people survive it.
It changes you. Being a good parent, good one, not one that's just like, peace, you know, brought you here, good luck. You know, being a good parent changes everything about you. It exposes all of your insecurities. Mm-hmm. You find out shit you never knew about yourself. You know, it's humbling. It's difficult. And I mean, just my daughter's 5. She don't leave the fucking house. Right. You know, I can't imagine what that's going to feel like every fucking night. They come home safe every fucking time they leave.
When you're in high school and you're like, why are you so
brilliant?
Yeah. And then I'm an aunt and I'm like,
right. That's how it started for me. Yeah. Being an uncle. And then you're like
sick to my nephew. We found out my nephew had cancer 2 years ago.
Oh my God.
And it was leukemia and he's doing well. Good. You know, hopefully by October next year, he should be done with his chemo and stuff. But just the random crying, like you feel sick. I'm an auntie. Right. And I'm like, I can't even imagine being the parent. And then having, you know, had two friends, one very close friend, lose a child. To see it, to be there for it, experience it, the fear that I have with my nephew, like,
right.
And you don't want your mind to go there at all, but you can't help it. Every time I get off the phone with my nephews, I'm like, I love them so much. I love them so much. It's so bad. Oh my God, when my first nephew went to kindergarten last year, for the first time, they have a video of him getting on the bus. I bawled. Crying. Like, he's so small. The other girl is a doll next to him. Oh God.
It is.
I don't know how parents do it.
Therapy. I went right in. My daughter almost got hit by a car. It unhinged me. And I went to EMDR therapy and she's like, look, you're future tripping. You're programmed to feel a certain way about things because death and destruction, you know, is what you know. And that didn't happen. But I couldn't stop seeing that horrible scene play out. And it didn't even happen.
Right.
And, you know, there was clearly some anxiety and shit that had just been just been chilling down there. Like, we come. We're coming. Don't worry. It's been good down here the whole time. No, but we're coming. And it did. I started getting scared of flying. I had never been scared. Never. I love that fucking takeoff. And then I was like, what was that? You know, every bump I hear, y'all hear that?
Was when Aaliyah died.
Yeah.
That's when my panic, and I, road comic, a tour. That's all I did was travel. My commute was to the airport. And after that, I used to get so, now I'm scared. Like I hate turbulence, even though like, do you do this when you feel turbulence? You're like, there's going to be another one coming. You feel the other one. You're like, it's probably another one. And you're like, okay, maybe one more. And then you're like, okay. And then it smooths out and you're like, okay. So I'm then something comes and you're like,
yeah,
I've screamed on a plane before. Screamed.
I'll do this too. I grab and look. See if anybody else is scared. Like I'm trying to. Like, he's still reading the paper. Over there.
I watch. I keep an eye on the. You know, I like to. I generally fly first. Don't worry about it.
I'm back there keeping an eye on you.
So I stare at the flight attendant when there's turbulence, and as long as she stays calm, I can kind of stay calm. I was on a flight to Amsterdam, KLM flight. Turbulence was fucked up. And the purser comes running down the aisle. Running down. And I'm like.
Running on a plane. Yeah.
To get to the thing. To say, get in your seats. Get it. And I was, and I'm right by where that mic thing is. And I was like. I'm pretty sure that's not how you handle this.
Yeah.
And the old man was crying next to me.
Crying?
Yeah. I think it was his first flight. I don't think he'd flown.
And his last. He was like, I ain't going back.
I don't know if he was going to make it back.
Amsterdam, here I come.
I just remember being like, this woman is. And, but I honestly, I think that made me feel. And this was before I was really scared to fly, I think. But that. Is what made me like be able to watch calm flight attendants and stay calm, even though I was feeling
bouncing. They're still back there pouring coffee. I'm like, we're good.
Like I just, yeah.
Janice had done been through this a bunch. Yeah.
Yeah. I get so like.
Fear of heights. I started getting scared of heights when I'd never been scared of heights before. I'm like, what is going on?
I used to love to fly. I loved turbulence. The more turbulence, the better.
Really?
When I was younger.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I liked the ride of it.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, I loved
because
it.
Because you don't have the fear of death as a kid.
Nope.
You know? I yelled on a plane. I've told this before, but it's a quick one. You'll laugh at this. So I have that anxiety, you know? And now with this whole blood disease I have found out I had, I got to get up and walk every goddamn 90 minutes and shit. I'm the asshole in the back, you know, chatting them up because I got to be back. I'm stretched. I'm doing got my fucking compression pants on and shit.
You have compression pants?
I have
pants?
To wear them. You know, my flight pants. Yeah, I got to wear compression pants.
Do you wear pants over them? Or do you just wear snug ass?
Can you imagine if I didn't? I do.
You just wear bike shorts on them?
Like, what's up, everybody? I can always get the middle seat next to me. I get poor man's first class. Don't worry about it. But one time.
Oh my God.
I'm sleeping. And now also, because of I'm also a courteous person because of I do like to sit in the window seat and I like to try to sleep. But I can't sleep now because I got to get up every 90 minutes.
Too.
So now I don't want to walk across everybody. I sit in the aisle. I sit in the aisle also. And, you know, that just doesn't make me feel as secure. Right. I know it's so dumb. We're going 1,000 miles an hour. Anything hits, it's over. The window ain't going to save me. You know what I mean? It's nothing. But in my mind, I feel less secure in the aisle seat, but I sit there anyway, you know. The one time, I guess I fell asleep. But in my mind, we're headed to Baltimore, you know what I mean? And we are up there, and all of a sudden, the plane just, whew, and I mean, it is 747, nosediving
in
down.
I've had that
in the real world, in my life. And I went, and I mean, I woke myself up and I looked around. Listen, everybody like leaning up. Like, oh, Red. Listen, we still had 4 hours to go, girl. I took my hoodie, I put the shirt on my head, I just laid there. I didn't take drinks, nothing. Just no, I'm sorry, everybody.
I had the same thing. I like the window as well. Part of it is like if there's turbulence, if I can see the ground for some reason,
me too.
It's a little bit steadier.
Me too. I don't. Yes.
If I'm in the clouds, I'm like, we don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I've seen other planes, and I'm like, why was that? That plane was close. Once I saw a plane, and I was like, that plane wasn't supposed to be that close. Like
really?
Yeah, I saw a plane go by, and I was like, that's too close. There's too much sky. for that plane to have been where it was. Like, I was like, something's up. But I'd fallen asleep at the window, turbulence. I think there must have been some turbulence. I don't think it was that bad. But in my dream, in my sleep, I felt it, and I felt us drop, and I screamed too. And I was like, ah! And the person next to me, you know, was kind and was like, okay, like, and I was like, oh. But no one else really reacted, but I was just like, oh God, please God, let me get this. I remember I used to fly Chicago all the time. I flew American, and so, you know, Chicago is the big hub over there. And the wind shears, I was on a flight once that tried to land three times.
No, fuck that. I hate that. Because I just want to get down. Even when they go, oh, we got to go back up and around. Like,
that's
no,
what I'm saying.
There's another hour. So now we got to wait to get into that circle. Sick to my stomach.
I was like, I remember getting off the plane. I was crying. I was in the hallway, you know, having gotten off the plane away from the gate, in that hallway towards the Mrs. Fields. I remember seeing Mrs. Fields. I sat down on the heater that was along the window. I called my agent. I said, cancel the rest of my shows. I'm done. I don't know how I'm getting home, but I'm done. I'm not getting on another fucking plane. He's like, calm down. Get to the hotel. Do your show. We can talk about it when you get back. I said, well, I'm probably driving back, so it's going to be a while. I was just... And I'll never forget that day I had, I was doing this show, and what's the kid from Saved by the Bell with the scurly afro? Screech, yeah. Was
Dustin Diamond.
Dustin Diamond was also on this show. I don't remember what he did or whatever he went on after me, because he was a bigger name. And I was like, yeah, I'm done. My stand-up career is over. It wasn't, but. I was messed up. Wind shears.
Fuck that. I
hate flying to Chicago.
I just want to say right now, like, I really miss stand-up. I miss the art of grabbing a microphone and getting up on stage and rocking a mic and making an audience laugh for an hour. I miss it. Mm-hmm. I miss the fuck out of it. I also realized today, too, like, what a joke all of this whole life thing is. Like, Did I just put my whole life and passion into an art form that could be gone? I mean, think about that. Like, yeah, I'm a kid. My whole life, all I've ever wanted to be was this thing's gone. It's just gone. Like, it could be. So now I'm like, fuck it. Live your life however the fuck you want to live it. Do whatever the fuck you want to do. I don't even know if you should dream anymore. I mean, Corona gonna come along, kill my dreams.
I was just with a friend of mine. We were talking about, she's an actor too, and we were talking about like red carpets and stuff like that. And how we would tell people, it's like, it's not all it's cracked up to be. You know, it's not as glamorous. It's not as glamorous as it looks. And I was like, yeah, we were probably salty just before we got out of the car, kind of thing. And then we were talking about the photographers, and I'm like, what are those photographers doing? Like, that was their job, to go to these events, take pictures, sell the pictures, earn money.
Churches, all of it, all these passions all these human beings have had, all these occupations and jobs, yeah, and dreams, a lot of them could be gone. So yeah, how do you tell your kids you can be anything, yeah, but that shit could be taken, yeah, away from you? For nothing, for a virus. All right, I wanna wrap this up with you, but before we do, I wanna ask you advice you would give to your 16-year-old self. With the hindsight you now have, what would you say?
I always say patience. My big thing was, you know, I wanted to become an actor. I wanted to be a successful actor, and so. You know, so that's why I started stand up, because I, you know, my path I thought was to have my own sitcom. And I had anxiety, and not anxiety that it wasn't happening. I believed it was going to happen. My anxiety was, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? And so I would tell my younger self, just chill. It's gonna happen. You know, even though I knew deep, deep down, I was like, it's gonna happen.
Up under that tomahawk cut you had up there.
Up under it. It was gonna happen.
Yeah.
And so, because I really don't feel like I had any doubt. I honestly felt like I'm gonna figure something out probably. But I felt like I knew it was gonna happen. Just calm down. Let that anxiety go. Now I have anxiety for a whole different reason, you know.
Yeah, next year.
I'm trying not to catch the disease or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
No problem.
I'm serious. I know you don't do podcasts. I know you don't. It's exclusive over here. Thank you. As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. We will talk to y'all next week.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet, resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging a**hole and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.